Great. Got me? No? All right. No? It's all the way over. Sounds like you hear me, right? Sounds like I'm going. Unless my voice is just extremely, you know, has a lot of vibrato today. You know? Okay. All right, there we go. Yeah, so, oh man, been enjoying this journey that I've been on with you. I want to take our journey to a deeper level, though, by the way, so I'm going to say that. All right, but I've been enjoying this journey. God has, man, over the past several weeks, really been blessing me with peace, blessing me with joy, blessing me, most importantly. I sent out a text message to a few of you and asked for direction. And, you know, God has really been providing that direction. He's been opening up doors. I've just really been taking it one day at a time. And so this morning, just in keeping with the season that God has me in, I got down on the floor to pray today prior to leaving to ask God to sign off on each of the points that I need to hit today. You know, you guys know that I come straight from the Word. You know, I try not to, you know, I add my stories to it, and you know, but you know, I come straight from the Word. But you know, this is a message. It's going to challenge you. I'm going to tell you right now, because it challenges me day by day. And so I went down one by one, and I asked him to speak to me and let me know if this is what, you know, how you want me to bring it. I know this is the Word, but how do you want me to bring it? And so as I got down on my knees to pray, I didn't know really what to say to God. It was this blank. Have you ever got down and to pray and it was like just this blank? And it was this blank this morning, and I didn't know what to say, so I kind of just laid there, and a word came to me, and it was like, you know, the Holy Spirit is making, you know, intercession for you. So even though you don't have the words to say, the Holy Spirit does. And so I was encouraged, and I just started going down point by point and praying through. And God, he spoke a specific portion of Scripture to me, and I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to introduce the topic to you from that portion of Scripture that he spoke to me. Okay, and that's where I had to go back and change my first slide. And it's how is your heart? How's your heart? This message, please. Matter of fact, I'm gonna pray before I get too much further. Please. Don't see me. Don't see your wife or don't see your kids. Don't see your coworkers. I really want you to, as we move through the text today, that you really sit before the King. And see where you at, you know. See where you at. All right, so let me pray so I can, because I need his help. We need his help. Father, we, as I said before, I often don't know what to say. Sometimes I feel like I do. Sometimes I don't, God. But many of the things that have been coming to my mind have just been, they just seem foolish. You know, my wisdom, my insight, my life, it just seems foolish, you know, sometimes when I come before you, God. And I just ask that you would take this meager offering that I bring, this seed that you planted in me, God, that it would bear fruit, that the hearts and minds of the hearers would be ready to receive what you've sent. We've already began to experience your presence. We know you're always there, God, but there's times when we can't see it. So, God, I just ask that that you will be powerful and effective, and we welcome you here in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so yeah, he reminded me of a lesson I taught a couple weeks ago at school, and it was the soils. You know, the parable of the sower. And there was these four different soils, and there was the path, you know, the sower or the farmer goes out and sprinkles seed, and some of the seeds fell on the path, and some of the seeds fell on rocky soil, and some of the seeds fell on thorny soil, and some of the seeds fell on good soil. And, you know, if the seed fell on the path, Satan came in and birds came in, which represented Satan, and took the seed. Didn't take root. If the seed fell on the stony soil, the soil that was thin, that had stones in it, it sprang up real quick, but because it didn't have any depth, the sun came out, scorched it, burned it up. Then there was that thorny soil. It had a little bit more depth, but it was full of thorns, and that represented the cares of the world. Like when all the cares of the world, your relationships, your finances, your career, your purpose, all of these things, when they stand in between your relationship and your connection to God, it chokes out the life, that's the sustenance, the power that's supposed to be making that seed grow. But then there's that good soil. There's that good soil. And the good soil, Jesus said that when the seed goes down into that good soil, that it returns an increase 30, 60, 100 times. And so my prayer today is that, you know, this seed that he's planting, because it's not me, I'm telling you, it's him. I pray that, you know, your heart, like, how is your heart? I can tell you, mine's all jacked up. Right? You know, real. It's just real. You know, and so I'm praying. I'm continuing to just pray to create in me a pure heart and renew in me a right spirit. You know, I'm. It's a constant prayer. You know, I'm like a flickering light. I told my wife. I think there's scripture that talks about that flickering light. But I'm getting better. The flickers are getting longer and longer, and that's all. You know, that's what I'm just praying for. But I just want you to really sit before God, before I even get into the text, and really examine yourself, and really seriously examine yourself, because what I'm about to say is going to, some of it's going to be difficult. Okay? Some of it's going to be difficult. I got my notebook out again, so you know it's good. Alright? I got my clicker over here. Alright? How's your heart? Is it stone? Is it like stone? Is it shallow? Are the cares of the world choking out, you know, the promise and the purpose of God in your life? Or is your heart good? Is your mind good? Are you prepared to receive, not just today, every day, what God has for you to do? That's the question. And so, Christ in us. I'm kind of like going to work. This is the subject, is Christ in us. And I'm going to work kind of like backwards, since I'm preaching the next 3 weeks. Like, God has been working on me in this area. And so I'm preaching from where I am and where I've been, you know, the past, you know, a couple months. And so Christ in us has really been like a huge theme, you know. And then next week, he gave me the sermon for next week already. And the sermon for next week is, how are we saved? So you guys are going to get a chance to know Andre Beasley's doctrine on salvation. Okay, I present it to you for about 30, 40 minutes worth of, this is how we are saved. Okay, so you'll get that next week, so don't miss it. All right, but this week, I'm kind of giving you, I'm walking in here with the assumption that everybody's already saved, so I'm just going to talk about Christ in us, you know. I'm going to talk about, you know, Christ in us and what that looks like and the magnitude. I love what Rachel said, and she was like, she was just pondering like how God, the creation itself, and how amazing it is that he would provide these things for us. I didn't even know that you can get tomatoes, new tomatoes every week. Till today. Stop on over here. Slice me up a couple of them things and throw it on my sandwich then. I mean, I'm about to worship right then. I'm like, whoa. Jeez. So, you know, God is amazing. And so what does that look like? What does that look like? Christ in us. Like, really, I want you to really sit before the King. Like, really, like, just really, like, Christ in us. The one who created the universe. It was created by him, for him, through him. All things that have life, they have it in him. And this, Christ in us. And when we laid our lives down, he came and lived inside of us. And so what does that look like? You know, how's it expressed? And so Galatians 2:20, man, this has really been like coming up all over the place, social media, and it's been in me.
And it says, I mean,
and this is the NASB. NASB. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. I have a lot of, not a lot of text, but I definitely have text to make sure that, you know, I'm hitting on the key things. Like, Christ is in you. This isn't just something that I'm saying. And some of you may be having trouble believing that Christ is in you or understanding, like, what that, how that manifests 168 hours in your week, you know. And so we want to start working on that, Fairhaven. We really got to start working on it. Really got to start working on it. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned how, like, people are going to start coming to Fairhaven. I welcome the guest today, Miss Elizabeth Harris. Everybody welcome Miss Elizabeth Harris. Okay. More people, and her son, all right? And, you know, more people are going to start coming to Fairhaven. I hope you're ready, because they're about to start coming, and, you know, that's the purpose, right? And whatever body of believers that I'm fellowshipping with, I'm going to say the same thing. I hope y'all ready, because I'm about to start bringing people in here, and, you know, I want to be comfortable bringing them in here. And I was kind of upset that I wasn't here on time. We're getting better. Pray for the Beasley family. You know what I'm saying? We're getting better. And, you know, I was telling my wife, I'm like, I wasn't here to welcome her. You know what I'm saying? I invited somebody, so I'm glad. I'm like, up there, she's in good hands. Because some churches, oh, man, you send them there, they might be looking at them crazy. And oh, man, so I'm glad that it was Fairhaven, you know. It's okay. So, you know, I got to be better. But I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I'm telling you what. It's easy to, like, read this and agree with it mentally, but to, like, allow the seed to take root in good soil, it creates something else. If you allow that truth to just sit on the top, on the path, and just sit there, remember, birds come, eat it up, take it away. If your heart and your mind is only, you're only this deep, you might get excited in church and scream, hallelujah. You might feel that, you know what I'm saying? And then you walk out of here and it's over with for you. Or if the cares of the world and, like, how much difficulty you're experiencing at home or in a relationship or in school, like, if those things are first and foremost in your mind, this right here is like that seed. But if you have that good soil, this is Jesus telling this parable. He said 30, 60, 100 times the seed that was planted. And so, I've been crucified with Christ and it is no longer I who live. I mean, you got to really, like look at this. You're like, man, I don't know if my life looks like that. Mine doesn't look like that enough. You know, it doesn't. But I'm striving every day, you know, day by day. You know, we don't want to have that attitude. Oh, man, I've been failing all of this time. I might as well just give up and keep living how I want to live. We're not going to do that, right? And so, John 4:14-12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That truly, truly, like Jesus was, you know, like, I'm telling you, like, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And so, Christ lives in us if we believe in him. Yes? Yeah. And then Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Yes? Yes, in agreement. All right. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And so Jesus basically, there's that saying comes in right here, hands and feet. We're like the hands and feet, you know, Jesus. He said, because I'm going to the Father, so now I leave you here to do the work. If we believe in Jesus, we've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, We've repented, we've turned, meaning that we have, that's that soil. That moment when you repented and turned toward, that's the soil. If you're wondering, like, if you're disconnected from what the good soil is, it was that moment when your soil was good. That was the moment. And so that's something that he really wants us to return to as a people, is that repentance, that brokenness, that contrite spirit. And so he says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And so today is Christ in us. This is some meat. Y'all want some meat? Bring us some meat today. You know what I'm saying? And it's not even about, breaking down Greek and all of that. That ain't the meat I'm talking about. The meat I'm talking about is this right here. It says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. I like that. Y'all said, Yeah. Test yourself. It ain't for me to test you. God tells me to keep my eyes open and look at the fruit, but it's not for me to judge you. This is something that you have to do on your own. I will write that down. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? No, seriously, bro. You know, or do you not recognize this about yourselves? Go check me out. Make sure you write these scriptures down, because I want you to know that this ain't from me. This is from him. And this is like where he's been. I said, I hope you brought your helmets today, because he's been on me. He's been on me pretty tough about this thing. And so as I look in the Word, in this mirror, and this is what you use to examine yourself. Not me. Jesus said, do what the preacher says, not what he does. You know what I'm saying? Ain't that crazy? So you look at the Word. You look at the Word and examine yourself. All I can bring to you is what the Word says. Is test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you recognize it? Do you see Him? Do you hear Him? Do you experience Him? Because He said, the works that you see me doing, those are the works that you're going to do. And I want to know, like, the things that I care about, those are the things that you're going to care about. The things that I say, those are the things that you're going to say. The things that I cared, that I had a mission to do, that do you have that mission to do? And so we're going to look a little bit closer at what Jesus did, alright? And then, like, if everything that I'm saying isn't, like, connecting with your spirit, that's why next week I'm going to come back with salvation. Yeah. Yeah. Unless, indeed, you fail the test. This is something between you and God. Andre Beasley can't do it. Your wife can't do it. Your church membership can't do it. You're being dumped in water can't do it. This is something that you and God really have to work through. It says, test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself. So I want to hit that, because this is a big, and this is a key text that's used so often in the church. And I used to get upset, because a lot of churches that use this text and try to beat people over the head with this text, To prove that it's not just a mental or intellectual assent that Jesus is Lord, because demons know that Jesus is Lord, but they're not saved. So they try to use this to kind of like beat people over the head, you know what I'm saying? But there's two different ways. Jesus is so good, because it's dope. Remember, the Word is a double-edged sword. It's cut in two ways. The one way that this verse cuts, and I'm going to get into the verse. The one way that this verse cuts, we know it already. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's kind of scary. Because these people saying, Lord, Lord, it ain't my words. This is what it says. It says, well, not everyone who says it. So this speaks on one edge of the sword. It speaks to me, kind of basic, is people that's professing to be followers of Jesus that aren't. You know what it says? He says, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name perform miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Man, hard truth. I only gave you one side of the sword, though, because there's another edge to that sword that I saw. I've been seeing all of these years, but I don't hear preachers preaching it, and this is what it is. You can do the works. you can do the works and still not enter the kingdom of heaven. You see what I'm saying? So this is, you know, people try to use it and say, oh, if your life don't look like Jesus, you ain't saved. Well, this is also saying, do you see it, that if you're doing these things, even in His name, it don't mean you're saved. Ooh. Ooh. So that's why next week I got to go back to some of the basics and foundational truths of what it means to be a Christian, because I think we take it for granted and we got all these different doctrines in terms of what it means to be a Christian. All right. And so I really want to take the whole counsel of Scripture and not just one or two favorite verses that this side loves this verse and this side loves this verse. I'm telling you, we're going to break it down, you know. So just know that it's not works and it's not just words. It's not. Mm-mm. We already know that, so I'm going to keep going. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep going. So the question I have for you today before I get into the meat of what I want to teach is, are you following Jesus? And if y'all really brave, when you get downstairs, if we're having sermon discussion today, let's lay it out there. Are you following Jesus? Are you willing to answer before your brothers and sisters? And are you willing to repent and confess and say, yes, I am, or no, you know what, I haven't been, but I want to. Or you know what, I don't even know what it means to follow Jesus. No, this is some real, man, Jesus is telling me that the time is now. Like, the time is now. Yes, y'all know I love to encourage people. You know that's one of the greatest things I'm sitting here to do is give hope and encouragement. But this isn't that's not that message, really. Today is, are you following Christ? Are you following Christ? Once again, test yourself. Examine yourself. Don't measure yourself with me. Just read the Word. Talk to God like, God, you know, what does it mean for me? Andre Beasley, what does it mean? Put your name in there for me to follow you. Doesn't mean you got to get up here and do what I'm doing, because this is such a small, Jesus told me that a long time ago, this is such a small, very important, but a very small part of what it means for you, Andre, to follow me is doing what I'm doing right now. Because Jesus did get up and read Scripture and teach. He did that a lot, but He did a whole bunch of other stuff too. You know, and He's equipped me uniquely to do it for the kingdom. I think I was just talking to my brother over here, what really revolutionized my life in these past literally 7 weeks. God, you know how you go through life, and I'm pretty sure my senior brothers and sisters, you can tell me, I had a light bulb go off in my mind when I was 26 years old, right? It was like a flash. Like, I had this understanding that I didn't have prior to that time. And I'm like, oh man, I'm actually grown now, I think, you know. I thought I was grown at 18, then I really thought I was grown at 21, and then the switch went off at like 26, and I'm like, oh, I'm grown. Well, I just had another one, you know, at 38. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm grown. I'm grown. At 38, I'm grown now, you know. Is that right? Does it keep happening? Do you keep on getting these moments where you start to feel like you're grown? Okay. Because I had another one. You know, and this time, this is what God revealed to me when this last one just went off, like literally a few weeks ago. He said, everything that you do, this is going to sound so basic, like seriously. He said, everything that you do is for me. I know you thought I was going to give you some deep insight, right? But I didn't see it. I was blind to like it in many different ways. The job that I chose, he's like, you're not going to do this for whatever you think you're doing it for. You're doing it to glorify me. You're doing it to make my name great in the earth. But I wasn't looking at it through that lens. It's spiritual for me to say that my job is a vocation. You know what I'm saying? Or I'm called to do this, so I'm going to do it. But I wasn't internally from the heart looking at it like, this is my mission field. Jesus is calling me. He has called me a long time ago, but now I'm like stepping into it because I see now with clearer eyes. Because a little bit after that passage, the parable of the sower, he talks about if you will open your eyes to see, open your ears to hear, and allow your mind to perceive, he said, I will heal you. And he healed me. And he healed my mind. He healed my emotions. He healed my thought process by opening my eyes, by listening, by seeking to understand. And this is what he showed me. He said, Andre, every place that you are is what I like to call a missional space. I want you to write that down. For those of you who are taking a missional space. This right here is not it. Okay, this is great. I love the intimacy of our fellowship. I love that we just come as we are and just here we go. You know, let's go into this thing. Strengths, weaknesses, everything. A missional space is a space. It can be anywhere. It's your neighborhood. It's your job. Okay? It's a golf club. It's a gaming group that you're a part of. It's, you know, a card collecting group. It's a whatever area your passion lies, God has placed that passion and your gifting in that area there for you to either be a part of or to create a missional space. The thing about the missional space is it's just not this is my clique, this is my Christian group of friends space. That's not what it is. It is a space where actually most unbelievers are in this space. I don't know what that looks like for every person. I'm starting to begin to know what it looks like for me. And because I'm asking God, like, how do we take this, what we feel and what we're doing and what we're experiencing, and make it happen the other 6 days of the week? How do we make it happen? And then as we welcome non-believers or seekers or even hurt Christians into these missional spaces, then we can walk them to the church. See, a lot of times we just want to invite people to church and people ain't trying to come and sit up in here and listen to this. You know what I'm saying? Hey. And the thing is, we often judge the world, but the Bible tells us not to judge the world. We're really supposed to be holding each other in here accountable. It's not the world we're supposed to be judging. God, He got that under control, trust me. He has the judgment of the world under control. But thank God that He's in a season of what we call forbearance. We're in a season of forbearance right now, and He hasn't just straight meted out His judgment on the world. So we don't need to even worry about judgment. Judgment is easy. Super easy for us. It ain't our responsibility. You ever work with somebody who always handling stuff that ain't their responsibility? They always handling something that ain't their responsibility, and they leaving their responsibilities undone. And that's what happens when we're doing God's work, specifically designed only for Him. We're not focusing on our work. And so, when Jesus came to the earth, He said, "I did not come to condemn the world." It wasn't judgment time. He was coming. Oh man, we about to look at this thing. So, key text. So, following Christ. Before I get to the key text, following Christ. I'm almost there. So it says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." I'm going to stop right there, because when we start doing this, Fairhaven, because I know He's going to connect what I'm saying with some of your hearts. I know it. The reason that I know is because I've been sharing it with people and it's been connecting. I've been sharing it with other pastors and it's been connecting. And so I know it's going to connect with at least one or two, and maybe everybody. But when this happens, it might happen to where the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes might try to resist us. The world, the established church might try to resist. Because many pastors and leaders, man, they got this thing, they got everything twisted. They think that they have to, that they're Christ. Christ lives in them, but they ain't Jesus. You know what I'm saying? They ain't Jesus. They under shepherds, you know, of the chief shepherd. It says Jesus is the head. It kills me when I hear preachers teaching that they're the head of the church. No, you're not. You're a lie and the truth ain't in you. That is, the Bible says, you know what I'm saying, that Christ is the head of the church. You know what I'm saying? Christ is the head of the church. These preachers kill me, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a preacher too, but I'm just saying, like we're, I've been searching the scriptures. Have anyone been able to find it yet? Because they're not. Okay? They are overseers. So you may receive some resistance, but you won't receive any from me. And I doubt you receive any resistance from the leadership at Fairhaven for you to begin creating missional spaces and inviting people to church, right? You know what I'm saying? Because trust me, I've been a part of fellowships that were resistant to that idea, believe it or not. Crazy, right? And He was saying, this is what He was saying to them all: "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him, one, deny himself," that sacrifice. take up his cross. The cross is your mission. That was Christ's mission. Christ's mission was the cross. Take up your mission daily and follow me. Allow my spirit to guide you everywhere you go. Everything that's going on, I'm going to reveal things for you to do. This is what my disciples do. If you want to come after me, this is what you got to do. You got to deny yourself. You need to be willing to sacrifice that part of you that rises up against God's word. All of us, you know the you I'm talking about. And then it says, take up your cross. It's something that you literally have to consciously, when you pull out your to-do list, and if you're not using one, you need to start using one. When you pull out your to-do list and you put those top one or two things on your list, Jesus Christ, the kingdom should be on that list. The kingdom, and I'm not talking about praying, I'm not talking about worshiping, all of those are good things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about mission. I'm talking about purpose. I'm talking about what God has called you specifically to do. Is like, okay, God, I really don't know what you want me to do, but my mind is open. And my heart, and my pocketbook, and my time is ready. We got to leave space for that. It's a new way of living. It's a new way of living for me. Like I said, frequently, there's been seasons where I was doing it what I think to be well. There's been seasons where I definitely wasn't doing it well. And so now, you know, God is like, okay, you've seen both sides, and I want you to walk. And he's going to give you the strength to do it. This right here is supposed to, like, give us that strength. Give us that encouragement. Fan that flame. Fan that fire. And then we go out, and then this is what we do. Okay? And so, write these down. You need these because when you start declaring these things and speaking truth to power, truth to circumstances, things start to change. Okay? And so, what does it look like to follow Christ? What does it look like to follow Christ? That's different for each one of us. But there are some key things there's some key signposts that Christ gave us. He gave us some signposts. Okay? So I'm going to go here. That's where we're at. Key text. Oh, I love this text. I love this text. When I was first called into the ministry, this is actually as an adult, because I was called as a teenager, and then like when I was an adult and my heart was in the right place, this is the text that really stood out to me. We're in Luke 4:14-21. And I didn't put it on the screen. And so you're going to have to read from your own. If you want to be with me in word and mind, I'm in the NASB. But if you want whatever version you want to read from, it's fine. Luke 4:14-21. All right. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here because it really speaks for itself. All right. Really speaks for itself. This is Jesus beginning his public ministry. Obviously, I can't go over all the stories, but many of us in here, we've heard most of the stories of Jesus. But I want to kind of give you, like, Jesus comes with a mission statement. He comes with a mission statement. And his mission statement came out of Isaiah 61. And we're going to look at Isaiah 61 as well. I'm moving, brother. I know it's time. Luke 4:14, it says, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. I want to stop right there because it was interesting, because the synagogue would have been very similar to this, to where we're at now. It would have been a very close, intimate fellowship of people. The people who were there made it a habit of coming week in, week out. And the thing is, they didn't have a leadership structure like we have in what we call the established church today. They had elders and leaders like we did, but they didn't have like one person who was like the guy. That was the chief priest, and he usually obviously didn't come to the synagogue. Okay, because in their generation, the chief priest was like Christ on earth almost to them. You know, that's kind of who he was. But in the local synagogue, they just had a group of leaders, much like Fairhaven. And then they would invite teachers and preachers to come in and read from the word and teach. And so they asked Jesus, he had just gotten back into the land. Galilee was a huge area, and Nazareth was a place in Galilee, and they heard he was coming back. Obviously, when God spoke from heaven, when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended and God spoke, something happened because everybody was talking about him when he came back. It's like, oh, Jesus, come to the church, come speak to us. And so here he is. He gets there, verse 17, and this is what he read, and this is what we're going to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Okay. He didn't say he asked for it, but they handed him the book of Isaiah. And Jesus was just in the right spot at the right time, the right day, the right time of year. He hands him the book of Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, because when he took a seat, they used to take a seat. Okay? They used to take a seat after they read the word, and then they would teach. They would teach. Okay? They would teach. And so today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And right there, it caused some trouble. Because the prophecy in Isaiah 61 was about the Messiah. And they knew that. And Jesus opened up that portion of text and basically said, yeah, that's me. that's me. And he had some who were drawn to him, but he had others that were extremely repelled. And if you keep reading when you go home a little bit further, they was ready to throw Jesus off a cliff almost out there. Like, man, we know you, man. You grew up in this church. Who do you think you are? And that's what's going to happen when you start walking by faith and you start doing the work of Christ. People are going to look at it like, man, we used to sit down and drink one, man. Just, what are you talking about, man? Like, and so you can't let that discourage you. But before we move forward, I want you to go open up your Bibles to Isaiah 61. I want to go to Isaiah 61. All right, because I want to read it directly from Isaiah 61. Let's go to Isaiah 61. Okay, we're almost there. He almost got us there. Okay. Okay. So, Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. I want to stop real quick. As you're reading this, I want you to read it when you go home too. And I want you to sit down and I want you to pray. And I want you to make sure that your heart is in the right spot. And I want you to ask God, what does this mission look like for me? Because this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what the Spirit of God lives in us to accomplish in the earth today. He says, the first one, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is the Spirit upon you? Do you have God's anointing? Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. You don't have to be a preacher to bring good news to the afflicted. You are a preacher anyway. And if you're feeling like you're lacking in that area, it could be that you need to spend more time in the Bible. And not just reading it, but studying it. And what I mean by studying is taking out your pad, your pen, and talking to God literally in the Scripture. And as you do that, you'll become a preacher. Trust me, it happens. Okay? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Is there anybody brokenhearted in your midst? Are we standing in judgment of those who are afflicted? Are we standing in judgment to those who are brokenhearted? Because most of the anger and things that we see in the world today is from brokenness. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Freedom. In the Greek word, it's in here, but I'm not going to say it because I'm going to mess it all up. The Greek word in the New Testament where he's reading this means prisoner of war. There's a spiritual war going on, and they're literally, most of the people that we see going through all of this stuff, talking, they're bashing Christianity, they are prisoners of war, and God has sent us. He's anointed us. He's gifted us to meet the needs of these people with our specific gifting, with our specific minds, with our specific experiences. He has sent us to the brokenhearted. He has sent us to the captives, to the ones who have been held in bondage. And freedom to prisoners to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. In the Hebrew and in the Greek, that word favorable year means era. We are in that season. Doesn't it feel like we're in a season where things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse? On the surface, it looks like things are getting worse and worse and worse because Satan literally has sent more demons, more enemies out into the world to trick people. And we can't be deceived and think that he's winning because he's not. The battle's already won. We just haven't come to that place in time yet because we live in time, but God lives outside of time. The battle's already won in the actual realm. We're just in linear. God is not linear in how he does things. And so, but Jesus closed up the text right there. He wasn't done with Isaiah 61. If you go home and read the rest of Isaiah 61, you know what you're going to find? Judgment. Judgment. He starts talking about judgment. The very next verse after that, in the day of vengeance of our Lord to comfort all who mourn. And he starts going down into his judgment that he's going to... See, Jesus closed up the book right there when he read it that day is because that wasn't part of his mission in that era. The part of his mission in that era was forgiveness, was healing, was comfort, was binding up those who were broken. What does that look like for you? I mean, write it down. How do you take the gospel? How do you bind up the brokenhearted? How do you set the captives free? You as an individual. This brother right here texts me during the week. This brother texts me during the week, right? I'm at work and I'm going through and I took my notifications off my text message because it'd be bothering me during the day, so I don't check it. So I check my text message and he's on there and he says, I'm about to read it to you. Oh man, it was so funny. I'm like, man, this brother's on the battlefield, man. Chris. So this is on Thursday. He said, any chance you'd be available to back me up tomorrow afternoon? I'm like, back him up? He said, I've been invited to a mosque by a guy I work with. He hasn't given me all the details yet. And I'm reading it, I'm like, oh. Like, I ain't want to go. But I'm like, yeah, like, let's do it. So I said, give me the times and I'll be there. And I sent that, and then like 30 seconds later, I said, if I can. No, but that's good because what that tells me is that Chris is on the battlefield. You ain't going to have no conversations like that unless you out here proclaiming. He's proclaiming something. And not to say that all of us should be getting invited to mosque or all of that, but we should all at some point in time be like, I need some backup on this. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a part of the mission. We should always feel like that. It should happen all the time. You know? And so, you should always, hey, I'm inviting somebody to church. Not that this is her, but we're inviting somebody to church. They're going through a time. They just really need somebody to love on. Like, that should be, like, whether they accept the gospel or not, like we just really need to love on them. You know what I'm saying? And like, I don't know, we got to get there. We got to get this thing. Amen. Not just Fairhaven. Everywhere. All right? And so, I'm going to close this out with this, okay?
Okay.
So, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. The number one thing that Satan wants you to do is to bring whatever circumstances that you brought in here, whatever trials, whatever tribulations, whatever doubts you have about yourself, he's trying to turn your mind and your heart into one of those other soils. The path, the stony soil, or that thorny soil. He wants to always keep us in that mental and emotional and spiritual vibration. Because the last thing that the enemy wants is for the church to be on mission. Man, I'm praying so hard, not only for Fairhaven, but yes, Fairhaven specifically, that we would be a church that's on a mission. Everybody's individual mission and collective. If one or two of you have a similar mind, then God will mesh your vision together and you just go. It's not a ask the leadership team. It's a go and then tell the leadership team, this is what I think God is putting on my heart. Pray for me. And then you start bringing people to church. The heart and mind of us in here, man, can bless so many people in Fort Wayne. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. All right? But if your mind is set on the flesh, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset on spirit is life and peace. He will give you life and peace as you set your mind on the things of the spirit. Even though you're in troubled circumstances, he'll give you life and peace. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Because my trouble hasn't stopped. But I still have life and peace. He said, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. If you're trying to subject your carnal mind to the will of God, it doesn't work that way. But praise be to God that Christ lives in us, so now we can connect to the Spirit. It said, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Ah, that testing again. That testing again, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Not my words, Scripture, right? And so, next week I'm going to get into salvation and what that looks like. Because it's not just one day raising your hand, praying a prayer, yeah, all right, boom, it's over. No, that's not it. It's so much more than that. All right? And so, what is the Spirit telling you to do next? And you don't need it. What's the Spirit telling you to do next? I have some action steps right after this slide, but I really want you to, like, what is the Spirit telling you to do next? Now, you may not even know this moment because, honestly, you might have come in here with a thorny heart. You might have come in here with a stony heart. You might have came in here with a heart like the past. I don't know. I'm not saying you're not saved if you came in here with one of those hearts because I have those hearts too. I don't think it's like a once and for all thing. I think our hearts go in and out of these stages, and then, like, as Christians, He gives us insight into our own condition, and that we're able to repent, turn. It's crazy because at the cross, He says, "Come to the altar." Like, you don't do that one time. You're supposed to do it every day. You go to the cross every day, and every day that you go to the cross, He continues to renew you and rejuvenate you and move you closer into the purpose. Some of us in here, man, we got this God-sized hole, right, that only He can fill. It's a gift. And, like, because we're not walking in our calling, like, we've done all we can do in terms of works, but we still feel empty. It's because you're not walking in your calling. It's because you're not fulfilling your purpose. All right, so here's an action plan. Action plan. Because I don't want to... From here on out, when I preach, we got to have action plan. We got to have action. Action, action, action. So here's action. Prior to Jesus coming back and declaring His mission, the Spirit of God led Him into the wilderness. Yes? The wilderness was a place of preparation. A place of preparation. So some of you may get all fired up and God gives you the vision, but your next stop, wilderness. And so, I'm a witness. You know what I'm saying? I'm a witness. Praise God that I'm not in there right now. You know what I'm saying? It was a season. Next stop, wilderness for some of you. Sorry, but I'll be there for you. But really, it's only between you and God, because what's going to happen is He needs you to get along with Jesus. Mark out some time. Carve out some time. to get along with Jesus. The thing is, we're really supposed to be honoring the Sabbath anyway. Well, we come to church, Lord's Day. Okay, well, if this is your Sabbath, if this is the day that you honor God, are you taking that time off and getting alone with Him? We all got to get better in that. Two, fast if the Lord leads you to. Fast if the Lord leads you to. This isn't something that, you know, you do to secure righteousness or to subdue passions. You just fast. Because honestly, if you've ever fasted before, when you don't have to worry about cooking meals and doing all of that, it really opens your day up. It does a lot. You know, there's books and things that you can read. If you have any medical conditions, see a doctor before you fast. Okay? Especially if you're a diabetic or something like that. All right? So fast if the Spirit leads you to do it. All right? Third thing is pray often. I know that these are like very like basic things, but sometimes we need a step by step. Oh man, I was feeling what he was saying, but now what? Here it is. Pray often. Pray often. Pray for others. Man, great testimony, man. My brother called me the other day. He got a car, and I was just almost came to tears because months ago when he lost his job, I started praying for all of these different things. And then when he called me, I was able to witness to him the power and the work of God. And then he goes and he starts expressing to his friends on Facebook how God has done this, God has done that. And it's crazy because he's not like that. And then he had friends that, come on, said my brother's name, prayers, God, that's what they were saying. So this is the people that he hangs out with. I'm like, ah, see, I see. So God blesses us by answering our prayers in the lives of others. So make sure that you're praying for others. Okay? And you're doing it often throughout the day to change your life. Four, speak the truth, the word, into your circumstances. You got to renew your mind. The Bible says don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And like all of your circumstances, God has it covered in His word somewhere. Worrying is actually sin. Just let you know. Worrying is sin. So, we're going to make that straight. So we're not going to worry, even though we all do it. I do it. But he said we're going to speak truth into our circumstances. What does God have to say about it? Sometimes you got to elevate your brain like out of the carnal world and into the spirit world. All right, and see like in the end, he said your current circumstances are dull in comparison to what you're going to see in glory. All right. So five, follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I know many of you maybe not know what that means and what that looks like. It's very scary sometimes, but it's also, man, there's no joy like it. Follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit from today on. You get off track, that's okay. Repent, come back, follow the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, that's it for today. I'm going to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray for a special blessing upon each person here. I pray that they would be able to connect with you, your purpose, the purpose of being at Fairhaven or wherever they are, God. I just pray that you would bless us. Join us together, God. Move us, set us on fire for the mission and the vision that you birthed inside of us. Help us to bring it to fruition. We pray that you would give us boldness and courage, God, to live it out. We ask it in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so that is it. We are